make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Nathan Zagura, Michael Regei filling in for Vic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and it's Friday, putting a bow on another week, Reg.
Oh, yeah, Nathan, we're going to carry over from the excitement and the enthusiasm that we have, I'd say, generated pretty much for the first 4 days of this week.
Absolutely.
Big show coming up today.
It's going to be the big finale to the week, inch us closer, of course, to the NFL draft, and today will actually be 2 weeks from the second day of the NFL draft, where the Browns have three picks right now, numbers 35, 71, and 83. And I'd say that day may be as important to this Cleveland Browns franchise as day one, especially if they do a little trade back, as you said. We'll bust out the Viking horn.
Do that. I feel like I'm in the dome.
That's
in downtown
right.
Minneapolis. You do that spot on, my man.
You know, I don't know what that says
did
about
you,
me.
Did you apply for the position of the Viking?
In case the machine went out.
It gets you in
they
the
had
studio.
Me on standby.
Very
they got
nice.
Me on standby.
That's
exactly.
That's great stuff. I think it's very, very important, Nathan,
yes.
as we talked about. And listen, if things fell in a way that the Browns, Ray Farmer, believed that could work out for them in a real strong manner, I mean, you go down to 8, and then you take their 2 and their 3 this year in exchange, whereby would give you 2 picks in each of the first 3 rounds. Listen, I'm not trade down guy, Nathan.
I know you're not.
I'm not. I don't like doing that, but this year, as we said, it's the anomaly.
It could be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It could be.
The value would be there to do it. If you're going to do it, this is the year to do it.
I would agree with that. And so with that in mind, that we are 2 weeks from the second day of the draft, the second and third rounds, we've spent a lot of time talking about what you do at 4, what you do at 26. What I want to hear from people today is what do you want to do at 35, 71, and 83? With those three picks that the Browns currently have on that second day, where are you looking to go? Now, obviously, that would incorporate what you did early for the positions, but where are you looking to go? What is an ideal day number 2 for you? What does that look like for the Cleveland Browns? That's our big question today. 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily. And a guy who could make his way onto this football team on that second day is Aaron Murray. If they decide to not go quarterback with one of the first two picks, I would love to see Aaron Murray here. And we're going to talk with Seth Emerson, the Georgia beat writer for the Macon Telegraph and the Columbus Ledger Inquirer. It's quite a title that Seth Emerson has,
yeah,
by
is.
The way. We will talk to him about Aaron Murray at 2 o'clock today.
That's going to be fun. We're going to go between the hedges, man.
That's right. We are going to go right between
right
the hedges.
Right between the hedges and find out more about Aaron Murray, who, yes, was one of the 10 to 12 QBs that have been here in the building.
That is the word. Indeed.
All week long. So that is very, very interesting. And I can just, you're glowing right now. Can you imagine? You got Teddy Bridgewater up here, and then you've got Aaron Murray attached with Bridgewater. So, Nathan, your quarterback scenarios, I would think, have a pretty fair chance of unfolding the way you, at least with one of those two.
Sure.
I think
the Browns
like them both, Nathan. It's just a matter of where in the draft pecking order. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And it
not
depends on how it falls out. No, and I think it depends on how everything. I think to get a quarterback that the Browns like in the first round at the value they want, it's going to happen either by moving back slightly in the top 10 or moving up from 26.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big move up fan just because I want to keep all the assets in this draft.
I dislike that more than I do moving down a little bit.
Right. So to me, if it doesn't happen there, you have to go ahead and go with a guy like Aaron Murray.
That's
I would
right.
absolutely love
That's
that.
Right.
But we're going to talk about him. And again, it ties into today's theme. What does an ideal day two look like for you in the 2014 draft for this Cleveland Browns team? 35, 71, 83. What are you doing with those three picks? Because there are going to be extremely talented players there for this Browns team. That's going to be a big topic of our day. And you talked about the team visits, and you talked about how a lot of people have come through here.
Yep.
The speculation, maybe a dozen or even a baker's dozen worth of quarterbacks have come through out of those 30 visits. Does anybody out there, and Reg, I'll start with you, do you think those individual visits could impact the big board? Do you think it could be something where they could come in here and impress the socks off of this organization and actually improve their likelihood of getting drafted? It's got to have some value.
Oh,
otherwise,
sure,
you
do.
Wouldn't
yeah.
do it.
You wouldn't do it. Absolutely, because this is where you could get them in your confine, in your complex, in your setting, and now start to really throw out your X's and O's.
Right. Watch them
in the
tape
confines
with them. Sure.
And the frameworks of your system, meaning the Browns and how you want to do it. Smile at me right now. Go ahead.
I'll smile at you.
Me right now.
I'm always smiling at you.
Right now, because I believe that your guy, Theodore Bridgewater, has made a very large impression. It's a gut level
it's
and
a
little
gut.
Bit more than that. Yeah. But I believe Bridgewater, and Nathan is smiling like crazy, Bridgewater has made a strong impression over and above what he put on tape, game day, practice day. I think Bridgewater has made some strides with the Cleveland Browns.
I'll tell you what, I've said it from day one. He's been my favorite quarterback in this draft class. I still believe that today. I have not wavered. And to hear you say that, Reg, that does put a smile on my face because I like
I'm not guaranteeing he's going to be drafted.
Of course not. It all depends how it falls. But
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
I like to hear that. I would like to shake hands with your gut. I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but nonetheless, I like the gut instinct, the gut feel there.
Anatomically, is that Megan?
No, that's not okay. No,
that can't happen.
That's why this is just on radio.
Okay.
That's why it's just on radio here. I'll tell you what, though. The one guy, and you talked about Teddy, the other guy that I believe this type of environment could help or hurt the most is Johnny Football. Because Johnny Football, to me, as an organization that sees him on tape, and I actually went back and this morning I watched three Johnny Football games to kind of go back and refresh my mind on him. He does, and I said, and this is my comment on him, I take more notes on his games, both positive and negative within the same game than you do for any other quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He does so many things where you say, if you could just put it together, this guy probably has the highest ceiling of any of these quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then he may turn around on the very next play and do something where you say, I don't even understand how this guy could be put in as a quarterback in the National Football League.
He had lived a little bit more than you were hoping would be the case.
He
right?
does that, and he
oh,
does it all
goodness.
The time.
Yeah.
And my question about Johnny Manziel is, number one, if you can harness him and you can make him more disciplined, work on his mechanics, because he has a tendency to get to the top of the drop and then just drift and drift and drift and drift, and he doesn't really read the field. He doesn't win with his mind. He wins with unbelievable physical talent.
I'll give you that.
The question is, in the NFL, can you win without your mind being your primary driving force as a quarterback over time, week in and week out, year after year? I don't think so. So I need to know that he can be a guy that's going to be able, because they say he's obviously intelligent.
Of course.
One of the score was very high.
Yeah.
Can you translate that into football smarts, reading defenses, reading pressures, understanding before the snap what you expect to happen so you can throw the ball anticipatorily as opposed to see it throw it? I believe one of the reasons his footwork is so bad is because he doesn't know what to expect is going to happen, that he's looking,
yep.
His body's not lined up, and he sees it, and all of a sudden it's like, boom, scissor kick, jump in the air, and he throws the ball.
There's a lot to be said for that, and I think you're right. As I said yesterday, and I had a tremendous pre-show social media discussion going on with a lot of our Browns fans about this today. Listen, I don't ever bury kids. I'm the guy that says, no, you can't bury a kid. You got to develop him.
Right.
That's part of your job if he comes out of the chute, regardless of position, and he has a rough rookie year. You got to develop him and make him better. I don't care whether he's a high draft pick or not. But the point is, to augment what you said, I do believe some of this has been, and he's got a Johnny Manziel. Got a terrific swagger, Nathan. I love that.
He's
got
that
a terrific
too.
Mindset. I love that. He's a leader. I love that. He's got a big heart. I love that. All of the, but I think that somewhat, all of that plays into his belief. I use the term subjugate the ego a little bit.
By the way,
Johnny, when that.
I love the subjugate.
Do you? Okay.
I do like
all
it.
All right. Well, we'll get out our NFL funk and Wagnalls.
There
right?
we go.
We'll include that in there. But listen, you're asking, you're breaking that huddle, you're calling that play for a reason, right?
Yes.
And you're asking the 10 other guys, okay, to make it simple, all right, you know, Nate Burleson's going to run this 14-yard square, and it's going to be run at 14. You're asking him probably to get off a jam, to get into his route and separate. And then, Johnny, if it's there, you cannot turn it down, my man.
You can't do it. No.
You
take it.
And we saw that over and over and over and over again, and some of it with Mike Evans, who's expected to be a first-round pick.
Yes.
So that's my biggest concern, and then that leads into a lot of other things. Because you start turning that down, and again, you're going to run afoul of the guys in your offense and in your room. You start doing that too much, as you said, Nathan, to look to scissor kick and back up and get waggle left, waggle right, and try to hit. So I can get 22 yards with my legs here. That's going to get you in a bad way real, real, real quick in the National Football League.
You are not wrong about that, and that's the thing. When you look at Johnny Manziel, this is what we call a high-variance player. But when you are drafting, it's not about the finished product. I think Teddy Bridgewater is as close to the finished product as anybody in this draft at that position. If Johnny Manziel can get harnessed, if he can be the guy and live up to the potential you see when he does things the right way, when he steps into that throw and drives it down the field like a quarterback should from
he
the pocket.
He can do that.
He can do it, and he can
he
do it well.
He just turns it down too damn much.
That's right. That's right. And so the real question is, Mike, and that's why I think the interview for Manziel, back to that topic, could be so big. If he can convince, when he's sitting in the room with Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer and Kyle Shanahan, they're going through tape and they're saying, Johnny, what did you see here? Why did you do this? Why didn't you take what was there? If he can articulate his position and articulate that he understands why it was wrong and how he's going to work to fix that, that can go a long way for a guy like Johnny Manziel in this interview process. And the same point as you, with your gut feeling good about Theodore and what he did here. What happened at your pro day? What do you see? And go through the tape. You were good here. You're great here. You read the defenses. Explain to us how well you actually do understand those coverages you're reading pre-snap. Let us into that mind
right.
to understand why you win so often the way you do. That's where these things, I think, can help and be
yeah.
valuable.
Yeah, most of the quarterbacking analysts, by the way, if you're talking about and just NFL ready to step into day one, we got into this discussion the other day, why Nathan and I believe, and this was part of my convo on Twitter pre-show today, why you and I both believe, as we stated yesterday, yes, the Browns' schedule in those first 3 weeks is going to possibly preclude them. And I know that you're looking at a quarterback that hopefully goes 10 years as your starting quarterback here. I get it. But we're talking about, listen, there's no consensus. Why are Nathan and I sitting here all week long and debating this with all these guys? Look, guys, you have, regardless of who you like, regardless, he's not a consensus.
Be there's no Andrew
Manziel,
Luck. Right.
Bridgewater, Bortles, Carr, yeah, throw anybody else you want in there. There's no consensus. As if there was, then Houston have already got him inked.
Right.
And
it'd
signed
be done.
Him, right? It'd be done. It'd be over with. There's so many question marks, and that's why we're having these type of discussions, which is phenomenal, be able to dialogue and go give and take with our Browns fans and what have you. But, yes, those are my major concerns about all of them, not just Johnny. Nathan, I don't believe any of them are ready and capable on September the 7th to step onto Heinz Field. I don't have a strong feeling that that's putting the Cleveland Browns in the most advantageous position to win. There's 5 months. If I prove to be wrong, I'll be the first guy to raise my hand and say, back when I said that, I was dead wrong. But right now, today, I've been around this league a long time, Nathan.
Indeed.
My instincts tell me that none of those young men are better prepared to do that than Brian Hoyer is.
I would agree with that. And I'll tell you what, though, we were talking about if the Browns would get a game flexed. I know they can't flex till week five, but if all of a sudden the Browns had Johnny Manziel and were starting him on the road in Pittsburgh in week one, they might find a way to flex
they
that
might.
Game
oh,
in a hurry.
I'll give you that. There's no question about that. And also, Nathan, I want to clarify real quick, too. By that statement, I don't mean, I said the other day, I'm not ready to put Brian Hoyer in Canton.
No.
Please don't misconstrue my words. I'm talking about the beginning of this football season, who I believe right now is the most prepared to go win. Again, because we all agree, 2014 is about winning for the Cleveland Browns. First and foremost, forget about sizzle and entertainment and marketing. Just win, damn it. Cleveland
That's right.
Browns 2014. Period.
I like it. Period.
Period.
End of story. And we agreed yesterday. This puts the onus on the rookie that is drafted to compete with Hoyer to beat him out decisively if he's going to have any chance to
it's
open
gotta
the season.
It's got to be that way.
It must be that way.
You can't
and
do it.
And it should be that way regardless, but it's really got to be that way going on the road to Pittsburgh. Again, what do you think is the ideal day two for the Cleveland Browns in this draft? Picks 35, pick 71, pick 83. Three picks there, again, for the Browns on day two of this draft as it is scheduled right now. What do you want to see happen with those picks? That's what we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. And also, if you want to touch on the individual visits, the high number of quarterbacks, who do you think helped themselves, hurt themselves? How important were they? Also, touch on that with us at 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily. Nate Ulrich, Akron Beacon Journal, to come at 1:30. But next time, it's you on the phone lines. Nathan Zagora and Reg coming back.